WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
I want to take a moment to just say some heinous things about the Tennessee Titans.
Sure.
Sports Talk Saturday.
They are never a fun team to watch.
Nope.
They play like they're in the 1980s. Their home run forward pass was a joke.
That's right.
I'm glad that they were 1 yard short, and their head coach has a punchable face.
Oh, super punchable.
Throws it downfield looking for Diggs. Diggs stops, and he makes the catch, and he's in the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo, Stephon Diggs.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Oh, we're bringing a Patty energy this morning today, everyone. As a Sports Talk Saturday, Howard already warned y'all about it, but this is Titans Hate Week, and the opening banter today is going to be basically something like this. Have you ever irrationally hated a team or an entity for I wouldn't say no good reason, but far more than an entity that you should? This is Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer, Joe Kelly's back!
Yes.
And we got Howard Simon here in the house. Evan's on the board. I hate the Tennessee Titans even more than the New England Patriots.
Hmm.
And there's no rhyme or reason why that should be.
I was going to ask you why. Like, it's not like the Bills. I mean, the Titans, it's not, they don't play them every year. They're not in the division.
Last year, Howard, I wrote up a 27-point list of why I hate the Tennessee Titans.
I don't think I can get more than like 10, maybe.
Their uniforms are dumb.
Yeah.
Home run forward pass. 1 yard short. Good for you.
Oh, God.
They did give us Greg Williams.
Greg,
right? Didn't he come?
Yeah.
Here from there, right? When he got hired here. I think he came from Tennessee.
I'll take your word for it. I'll blame them for Greg Williams then.
I'm sure he did.
Will Levis is dollar store version of Josh Allen. And dollar store version of rookie Josh Allen, might I add. They're never a good team offensively. Even when they had Derrick Henry, it was run the ball, the ball. They're the ham sandwich of the National Football League.
You must have been absolutely ecstatic when they won, like big time last time.
Yes,
they were here.
That was cloud nine. But then add to the list of why I hate the Tennessee Titans, Micah Hyde suffered that neck injury and never was able to be the same ever that.
Mm-hmm.
They got COVID, messed up the day they were supposed to play the Bills.
Tuesday night football.
There you go.
And then the slip into the end zone, Josh Allen.
Josh Allen slips on the 99%er.
Yes. The one time they've actually, or one of the few times they've actually not completed
and
that.
And recent history, outside of the last game, they stink against Tennessee.
Derrick Henry throwing aside Josh Norman is always shown every time the Bills play the Titans.
See? We already got to 10, Howard.
All right, that's not bad.
It was even shown when the Bills played Baltimore.
I'm not even trying right now.
But it is irrational.
It is irrational. I can admit that.
There's no way you could hate Tennessee more than you hate New England. I'm sorry. That's just
I hate boring football teams. And
yeah.
And, okay. And the Tennessee Titans for the longest time, even when they were good, were boring. They were the number one seed, a false number one seed. Sacked Joe Burrow 9 times. Refused to score 2 touchdowns worth of points to win.
Yeah. Okay, Tennessee. I never would have thought of that.
I don't know if I have an irrational hate of any team, though. I feel like it's like the
Dolphins.
That's
what I'm trying to think of. Yeah. Right. There's always a logical reason, right, Joe?
It doesn't have to be a team. It can be just anything.
Would the Maple Leafs be considered an irrational hate from a Sabres fan's perspective?
I mean,
like, there's reasons why. Like, I hate the Dolphins because I grew up in the 70s as a football fan. And the Dolphins, if you're a Bills fan, you hate them because they went 10 years without beating them.
Right.
The Patriots is a logical one. Like, the Yankees for me is logical. The Flyers, the Bruins, the teams that, again, I grew up in the 70s. So the teams that were beating on my teams in the 70s, I don't like. Dallas Cowboys, because they rammed America's team down our throats. What's the reasoning for the Maple Leafs from a Buffalonian perspective?
Other than being a division rival.
Beat them in the conference final in 99?
As a matter of fact, I do believe the Maple Leafs play-by-play guy, Joe Bowen.
Yeah.
He always calls KeyBank Center the House of Horrors.
Oh, their record in Buffalo is terrible.
It's dreadful.
I mean, it's not as bad as it used to be.
But hilariously
it's horrible.
Bad. Even the tank seasons, the Leafs could not beat the Bills.
And they never win anything. They haven't won a cup in almost, over 55 years.
Yeah.
Why do we hate the Leafs? That's why I'm thinking, is that considered irrational?
Is it the fan base? Because they just flood KeyBank Center every time?
Probably that.
For me, it's...
But that's also our fault.
Yeah, but for me, I think that's the closest... thing. I mean, it is a rival for some. I mean, it's not always been a division rival. Because remember, way back when, I think
Boston,
they were in the Western Conference.
Far more than Toronto does.
But I think part of it is their fan base, they act like they've won the same number of cups as the Montreal Canadiens, and they haven't won squat. They haven't even gotten to a final in 55 plus years.
And the Sabres
maybe
haven't
that's it.
The Sabres I haven't even existed for that long.
Like they feel like it always feels like Toronto believes they are the center of the hockey universe, but they never win anything.
Yes, that's. I think that's what it is. It's the hockey mecca thing.
Right, but what do they do? So I think, and it, eventually they become a division rival. But I guess that's the closest thing. Joe, that's why. That's the closest thing I've got to irrationally hating
somebody. I know
somebody.
Bulldog like hates Atlanta.
Really? He also hates the Tampa Bay Rays.
Everybody there? Like the whole city?
He hates the Atlanta Falcons.
Oh, like, okay. I thought like the Thrashers, the old Atlanta Flames teams.
The Hawks the catch Hawks. Strays.
I'm okay with the Braves. I
know that Bulldog infamously hates the Atlanta Falcons.
Because they blew the Super Bowl in New England?
I don't think that's the only reason, but yes.
Like again... From a Buffalonian perspective, what axe could you have to grind against Atlanta? Like I think Jim Kelly broke his leg on a pick six one time against Atlanta. Or I forget.
Yeah, maybe.
But Atlanta, huh? Okay. Yeah, I've got a pretty good explanation for all the teams that make me sick.
Yeah, I don't think I have just like, oh, I hate these people because I hate them. I don't have anything like that, you know? I mean,
we got to get you some Haterade. Yeah, I was born a hater,
baby. It's
like
the Dolphins fans, though, or even the Jets, like... Deion Dawkins, like that—is that an irrational hate?
No, that's a division rival.
Right. So, like, I feel like even if you say the Jets, it's a division rival of the team we all follow. So, I don't really have a team that I just hate because I hate. You know,
that's fair.
That's a really good question.
I think it was. It all stemmed from when we started doing Breakfast with the Bills here and switched it to fantasy angle, and I had taken over the show, and I had realized every time that the Tennessee Titans play, nothing fun happens. And then it just grew from there 7 years ago to where I called them on air the ham sandwich of football. Nothing special to it. They're a ham sandwich.
But that's why I think when you said you have an irrational hate of Tennessee, that's the whole crux, I think, from Joe and I's perspective. Tennessee is a team that just gives you no emotional response.
They're just supposed
just
to be there.
Nothing, they don't do anything that would get you to the point where you'd be that livid or angry, other than for me, home run throwback, because they're just irrelevant a lot of times.
Typically, they are.
And they try to add a little bit of mayo with Will Levis, not working out for
them. It's not working out for them. That's how bad they are.
But watching
as a franchise.
But watching him is hilarious because you literally never know what's going to happen on every play.
He's on his knees.
Will Levis is on a legendary meme run, and
every week
that part is at least entertaining. But for me, I guess I just hate the mediocrity that they've been able to successfully peddle on us for at least 10 years. Because like Jeff Fisher would always get them like 9-7 or
even Mike Vrabel's teams. Like I always think the Mike Vrabel's teams. No one was ever scared of Mike Vrabel's Titans teams. And yet people would talk about them like Coach of the Year and all the great things.
And yet they won games.
I just never looked at them as legit teams.
Like,
okay, I guess I understand it.
I'll have to ponder that. There's got to be something, but it's not in the forefront of my mind right now. I can't think.
I don't have a really good answer. Whoever I really don't like, I have a good reason for it. It might only be one, but there's always something. There's a reason rooted in there somewhere to explain why I would root strongly against a certain franchise.
I mean, we all know that I'm built different in
That's very true.
Yeah. I guess like Baltimore would be one for me because the Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen always, you know, the Lamar MVP season last year and all of that. But there's also like standing to have a thought against it, right? And how they came in this season and Derrick Henry just killed the Bills. But yeah, there's like standing behind everything. I don't really have I'm trying to think.
Maybe the Steelers. I mean, it could be, again, now it could be more so about, well, they won four Super Bowls in the 70s and they beat the crap out of everybody. But I think it's more honestly in the last, like towards the end of Roethlisberger and since he retired.
Oh, they were
people talk about Pittsburgh like they're still really good.
Yeah, and they're one game above 500 at best.
You know, they have made the playoffs. They have had some winning records. But when was the last time you legitimately looked at Steelers and thought, wow, that's one of the best teams in the league? It's been a long time, but people still consider the Steelers. Like, they have this image of the Steelers that really doesn't connect for me with when you look at their record, their stats, and their on-field showings. They still get by with just defense and special teams. They haven't off. So I'll go with, irrationally in recent years, the Steelers, because I think people play them up to be better than they actually are.
All right. If you're drinking the Haterade, tweet at it, at DerekKramer49, at the Joe Cali.
And then there's this show. I mean,
yes.
You know, in terms of rational hatred, there's definitely this show.
There's very rational reasons to hate this show.
Yes.
Well, Joe makes it better.
Oh, appreciate it. But we go crazy here.
We do have a little
Someone has to attempt to be the calming effect on Derek.
Yes. I try my best.
And someone has to be different from the rest of the station.
That's definitely you. You are definitely different from the rest of the station. That's why the PD loses sleep at night knowing Sports Saturday is coming.
Alan just kind of like picks his hands up at this point and he's just like,
nothing I can do. There's nobody left. Derek's got to wash my hands of it.
I tried.
Nate, you available? Anybody? Howard, you want to come out of retirement? Nope. All right, Derek, you're on.
That's kind of how it went, actually.
Yeah, that's all right. We figured you had pictures or something.
No, I was just the leading goal scorer for 11 day.
That's a good enough reason, I think.
I cashed the ticket in.
There you go. How many goals did you score? What's the most goals you scored in one 11-day power play year?
Four.
In 4 hours?
3 hours.
3 hours.
Yeah.
Four? I figured the total would be
Howard,
like 18.
None of us are good at hockey.
Yeah, that's true. I've seen you guys play.
His celebration is notorious. Come on.
I guess if you only score four goals, it better be a damn good celebration.
Right, yeah.
You got to make it count.
It has to be memorable.
Yeah, you got to make it count.
It has to be meme-worthy.
It's got to be there. You're there for the people at that point.
So what's on the docket today? What's the
plan? What's on the docket? We got an all-star lineup here today, Howard. We had you to start it off,
it's got to get better from here.
I mean, Brian Koziel, he's coming up next.
Okay.
As we go back to rational hatred, as the Sabres hate us for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And then 12 o'clock, Alex Brasky will be joining us. Mm-hmm. And then Carl Jones will be on at 1 o'clock as we go digging into the Bills and the Titans and why I despise them.
Yeah.
Sounds like fun radio.
Hey, man. That's what I'm here for.
I've been waiting for the Titans week for this show, honestly.
this week?
Yeah, I've been waiting to...
And I'm not prepared this year.
And good news, Derek brought soda and Timbits. So he's going to be on a major sugar rush for the next few hours.
Yeah, he's got the nitrous oxide in the tank. He's going.
I'm ready to go here.
This is going to be nuts.
We're in it to win it.
Nice to see you, boys.
Nice to see you, as always, too. Howard.
Have fun.
Thank you. Okay. And appreciate having you around these last couple weeks.
My pleasure. Nice to see you, as always, Mr. Kramer.
We'll do it again sometime.
You're not wearing your Austin Matthews jersey.
Only special occasions.
Yeah.
Also known as when it's colder out.
Well, next time I see it, I'm burning it.
Well, that's also why I didn't bring it in today.
Good idea.
Jersey preservation. That's important, kids. All right. We get back. We talk to Brian Koziel. The Buffalo Sabres have... they've started their season all right. Is it time to panic? No, but it's time to at least start pointing some things out after six games. We'll see what's going on with them. What can be seen in a positive light, and of course what's been going wrong with this team as the season has begun, and they take on the Chicago Blackhawks tonight, 8 o'clock faceoff, 7 o'clock pregame here on WGR. Brian Koziel coming up next. This is Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer, Joe Cali, you're listening to WGR. Thanks, Howard.
And the Sabres will flip it up. Here's Zucker. Waiting for some help. It's there at the far post. Scores! Yeah. What a cut in off the play by McLeod as he gets his second as a Sabre and puts Buffalo on the board here, now trailing 2-1 with 10:26 to go in the second period.
Had to let the drums get going here.
I feel like J.K. Simmons is going to yell at me, not my tempo. I feel like that's what's going to happen.
Well, you know what else is not my tempo?
The Sabres.
The Buffalo Sabres win-loss record. 1-4-1 to start the season. It has not been satisfying, to say the least. It's been more entertaining in the last couple of games. The goals are showing up again. And
they can't finish.
And we're back to cardiac Sabres.
Yeah, they have AFib.
The
team's pulse is AFib. That's what it is.
The thing was that a couple nights ago, I'd started to see a bit of a connection. And we're going to have Brian Koziel on the West Shore Hotline to join me in this opening question. Brian, a couple of nights ago in Pittsburgh, back on Wednesday, I started thinking, like, watching this team, it seems like there might be some connections to the 2022-2023 Sabres, who were
They'll score goals. They'll get their chances, but they're going to give them up. And the bad part of those teams has shown up in the last few games of not getting good goaltending at all in an overtime loss where you had a 3-1 lead to end the first period, and now dropping a game you should have had against Columbus.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Yeah, I think the type of game that the Sabres played in their first two games in Prague, then coming home, and I thought having two efforts that I would probably say were their best two of the season, the home game against the Kings and the home game against the Panthers, then we're back to now a different style where the goals are going in. I mean, what, their last three games, 5-5-4, you probably should go 3-0. If you said you're going to score 5-5-4, and they unfortunately have only one win in those three games. So, you know, there are some things that are going better, as you mentioned. The scoring, I guess the entertainment value in some sense is up a hair, if you don't mind watching them give the puck away quite a bit on the other end at the same time. And the last two games from the goaltenders, one each, were their worst performances of the season. Now, I really liked what Devon Levi did in his first two games, so I don't want to overreact to one bad game. It was definitely a bad one for sure. But I liked what I saw from him 2 out of 3 so far. I could probably say the same thing about Lukanen. But these last two games, defensively, and it starts with the captain, Rasmus Dahlin, has not done a good job. Mattias Samuelsson, seems to be making plays that we're kind of head-scratching at, like, what is he doing? These are the players that are supposed to be like the stalwart back on the blue line for this team, making plays, you know, being sound defensively, and it's led to a lot of breakdowns and a lot of goals. And to give up 6 to Columbus, I mean, guys, they're not a good team. I mean, look at their lineup. The Sabres should be better than them. You cannot give up 6 to Columbus. You're never going to win if you do that.
Oddly enough, I think the Sabres, when we're talking about, we started the show, Joe, with like weird records and irrational hatreds. I don't know if Columbus is going to start getting on that radar with the Sabres' lack of success against the Blue Jackets.
Maybe.
But, Brian, of course, you mentioned Rasmus Dahlin, and it's been a very slow start for him, not just on the score sheet, but also just not making smart decisions, turning the puck over, it seems, a decent amount right now, and not getting the kind of play that you'd expect from the player who's supposed to be your most talented member of the roster.
Yeah, he's been a huge disappointment. I mean, there are some forwards that I would put on the list of disappointments, but Rasmus Dahlin, just as a whole, as a package, to me, has been very, very disappointing. We're seeing some real highs and lows from him, but a lot more lows than highs. I also don't really see that, like, that command with him on the power play where we'd get those oohs and ahs, some of those plays where he would really just take over. And we're not seeing some of that. I think also, too, like his ability to go around guys with his stick handling ability, which I think is such a strong attribute of his game. We're not seeing that. I know Paul Hamilton always says, or has been saying here over the course of preseason, like that he's just not up to speed yet. He's wondering if he's still not 100% healthy coming off of that injury that kept him out most of training camp. So that's maybe, you know, a piece of it that we could talk about with him. But in general, he has to play like an elite defenseman. He has to play at all-star level. I mean, he was the number one overall pick. The Sabres gave him a monster contract. They slapped a C on his jersey this summer. He's supposed to be the guy, and he definitely has not been. So while I'm not happy with how Mattias Samuelsson is playing, I'm not happy with how, you know, some of these forwards are playing, you've probably got to start right with the captain and the guy that's supposed to be your best player. The Sabres still, even though I still think their depth is better than last year, they still aren't deep enough that they can get by with not having their best players play their best. When Dahlin is not at their best and Thompson is not at their best and, you know, those guys like that, they're not going to win. They're not that deep. But they can't be hurting them. That's really why you give up 6 to Columbus. You can hang in against a team like Columbus. You can hang in against a team like maybe like Chicago tonight. But you know, you play an elite team and your best players aren't your best. Well, you're definitely going to lose. At least you have a shot against some of these lesser teams, but you do what you do like that, where you're really hurting your teams like Dahlin did the other night. And well, that's why 6 goals were in the net.
Yeah, absolutely, Brian. So speaking of the net, goaltending, you kind of seen some hot performances, some cold performances. Do you think that is just like you said, the defense really needing to get on their horse and figure things out to help out? Or do the goalies really need to adjust and try some different things, you think?
Probably a combination of both. I think definitely these last two starts, Levi especially, he had his worst performance. But 2 out of 3, I thought he was excellent. And, you know, we were talking on pregame the other night before the Columbus game, like, hey, if Levi plays well tonight and they win, we could see him going right back in tonight against Chicago. And it kind of feeling like, hey, that rotation of, you know, Luukkonen gets 2 out of 3 or 3 out of 4, like maybe Levi can chip away at that and get himself some more playing time. But that opportunity, I think, is wasted. I'm sure that, you know, he's not going to be happy coming off of that performance. So I think, you know, Luukkonen the other night against Pittsburgh wasn't great. I wouldn't say it was horrid, but overall, those two have to be better. They got outstanding goaltending last season. We know that because they couldn't score, they couldn't take advantage of it. They couldn't win those 3-2 games. They lost so many games, 3-2 and 2-1, and all the times we mentioned that they couldn't get it to overtime. You know, the other night against Pittsburgh, part of me was sitting there saying, man, they should have won. They were up 3-1. You're up 5-4 with a minute to go. Really disappointing. And then there's part of me that says, well, you were down 4-3 in the third, and you figured out a way to get a loser point on a night that you didn't play great. Maybe that's a little bit better than last year. But when you couple that with the Columbus regulation loss, this feels like a really bad road trip. Even if you end up winning tonight and getting 2 points, that's 3 out of 6. This trip, I was thinking they needed 5 out of 6 with the quality of opponents being lower than maybe what you're going to get going forward on the schedule.
Brian Koziel joining us on the West Shore Hotline. Guys, we were just talking about the goaltending and the defense, and I just pulled up the stats, and this one's a little wild. Both goaltenders have 76 saves on 87 shot attempts.
Identical.
Identical.
Wow.
Both have an identical 87.4 save percentage. Just one of the wildest things you're going to see. But now, Brian, here we are, another year. What the hell? Can we just, like, turn penalties off when Sabres play, like, in NHL? Like if you have, like, any of the video games, like, you turn penalties off?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a way to do that? Can you guys find that button and push it and turn it off?
It's been really bad. I mean, just the law of puck luck would say that one would have gone in by now. To be 0 for the season through 6 games, I mean, that's just, it's mind-boggling. In the NHL, when you get bounces all over the place, they've had a couple of even 5-on-3s in there. The one against L.A., they had for a 1:09. Like, you have to score in those opportunities. There is enough talent on this team that you've got to figure out a way to get it done when you have the man advantage. They also are giving up shorthanded chances, which is a repeat pattern of what we saw last year. The opposition has more shorthanded goals than the New Sabres do, obviously, on the power play. So that's another stat area that needs to be better. Look at 2 years ago. They were within a point, and their power play was excellent. It was top 5 to 10 the entire season. I think if the Sabres are going to have an opportunity to get themselves back in the playoffs, the power play just has to be figured out. I don't understand why with this group of talented players, they can't get enough scoring opportunities. At times, it still comes back to the same, I think, lack of discipline things. There's sometimes too much standing around, too much perimeter passing, and not enough entries toward the net. I know that they're looking to make that perfect pass. It seems as though at times it's there, at times it's not. And also still a lack of movement. When it looks better, I think guys are moving around. So to me, you know, from my eyes, if I was going to give a message to them, keep moving. If you're standing still, you're wrong. That's kind of what I would be saying to them right now. They've got to continue to put a little bit more pressure and get more in front of the net, saying net presence, net presence, net presence. I probably would add that right at the top of the list too for some things to try to switch the power play. And again, the scoring depth for the Sabres right now, it's not that deep. So I know some people have said, well, why don't you change it up? Why don't you put different guys out there? Like, I don't think the third and fourth line players are what you put out there. When you see successful power plays in the NHL, it's with your top players. So it's still going to be Dahlin. It's still going to be Thompson's. It's still going to be, we think, Dylan Cousins. Still going to be Alex Tuck. This group is the guys that are going to have to figure it out. It's not going to be as simple as, well, let's just throw in Sam Lafferty on the power play and see if it changes.
Brian, it's not even just the power play. The penalty kill's 26 in the league as well. So it's not like they're doing well while shorthanded right now either. So the Sabres are, the special teams have been anything but. The combination that they have is dreadful beyond compare. However, I do want to try to end things with you on a positive note, because it's not like it's been all miserable. It's been mostly miserable for the Sabres, but there are some bright spots. Owen Power seems to look fantastic right now. J.J. Paterka looks like their best forward, and it's not even close. What are you seeing that is of the few positives we can bring out of the 1-4 and 1 start with the Sabres?
I think Paterka is a great place to start. I mean, this guy definitely can lead this team or be right behind Tage Thompson in goal production. He misses games because of a concussion. He comes right in and starts taking over. He had two breakaways in the game against the Penguins, one of which I don't even know how he didn't score. He had the goaltender beat. Now, he said he felt he was slashed as he was about to drag the puck in, and that's why he said it hit the post, that he couldn't get it at a more sharper angle to get in. But he had two breakaways in that second period that he didn't even score on. He still scored twice in that game. So he could have 5-6 goals even right now, and he's missed games. So I think he's on a tremendous pace to have a really, really good season. So I would start with him in terms of positives. Dylan Cousins is a guy, and this is not the positives you're looking for.
I know. Oh, I know.
He is, I feel like, noticeable. I think he's playing with high energy. I think he's very active in the play. I think he's in the right spots. I want to give him credit for all of those things. What we cannot give him credit for is how he is just not finishing any of those opportunities. To still have zero goals, to be getting paid $7 million at some point, that is unacceptable. And I'm sure he would be the first to say it. I want to give him credit. I never watch Dylan Cousins and say, man, so far this year, and say, man, he is not giving effort. He's not hustling. He's not trying to be in the right position. He's not winning his battle with, you know, one-on-one. He's just not finishing. I know a few games ago he was leading the team in shots. I don't know, he still may be. He's definitely giving himself opportunities, but man, he is snake bitten in terms of scoring. That has to get better. So I don't want to go all in on hating on Dylan Cousins for having no goals, because I do think he's doing a lot of the right things, but man, that puck has to go in for him at some point. He's being relied on too much on this team. He's getting paid too much. Those goals have to go in. Defensively, I might say, you know, I think I've seen some good stuff from him. On Malkin, on when he came in one-on-one, I thought was really nice. That pass on a two-on-one that eventually led to a Sabre goal, I thought we saw some of his offensive prowess there. So far, so good for him. I've kind of liked his game. I didn't really like him, but over the course of the last week, that he's gotten a little better. And up until this last game, I would have put in Devon Levi in that mix. I thought he was excellent in the first two games. I thought he was amazing in the game in Prague against New Jersey. But, man, he took a step back. You just hope that that's just a little blip on the radar, that one game against Columbus on Thursday night.
Brian, I do apologize. You ended up cutting out on the defender there. I do believe you were talking about Bowen Byram.
Bowen Byram, yeah.
Yeah. Brian, of course, last thing that I have for you here would just be this. We know the obvious answers, and you can even repeat them if you need to. What do the Sabres need to do to start getting back on track here, if there's a case to do that? And if they don't get back on track, does a seat finally start getting warmer for a certain general manager?
Well,
Brian, do we have you there? I think we lost Brian,
unfortunately.
All right. Well, I'm sure we'll get answers to those questions and more in pregame.
In pregame, that
in the
he
Steve
hosts.
Foley Law pregame show,
yes.
At 7 o'clock.
Yes.
So, Brian, take that question I asked you and keep it in the chamber. I can't wait to hear it at 7 o'clock. That was Brian Cozy on the Western Hotline as Sabres Blackhawks tonight, 8 o'clock faceoff.
Last game of this road trip, and then they're home for a considerable amount of time.
Four games,
and hopefully they can.
Considering they looked good, but okay, we can go ahead and ask Brian one more time here and see if we got the connection to end it here.
So hopefully you got me here now.
Yep.
I guess in terms of your question about the GM, you would think for what the Sabres track record has been in his tenure that you would think he would be on the hot seat. And I think normally for an NHL franchise, he would be. My real answer, though, is I think Terry Pegula is fully behind Kevin Adams. I fully think that he is not thinking at all about making a general manager change. Kevin Adams, I think, deserves credit for rebuilding the third and fourth line. I think it is better. I think it is an upgrade. I think they are harder to play against. But Kevin Adams did not do anything to change the top six. He went all in on thinking that Dylan Puck would bounce back, Tage Thompson would add more to his goal seed, Jack Quinn being healthy would be a real, real boost to the offense, hoping that Zach Benson doesn't have a sophomore slump and continues on going. So that's the part to me, if Kevin Adams ever goes down with the ship, it's right there, that he decided that the scoring was enough and that the top six would produce enough in the offseason. But I don't think at all that you said hot seat. I don't think at all that's a realistic conversation at this moment. I think Terry Pegula is fully behind the general manager.
All right. Well, I tried to end it on positives, and we did not do that, guys. but that's okay. Brian, we will hear more of your thoughts on this team as we get to the Steve Foley Law pregame show starting at 7 o'clock tonight. Thank you for taking the time, though, this morning, and I always appreciate hearing from you.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks,
that's Brian.
Brian
Koziel on the Westura Hotline. Sabres, Blackhawks, 8 o'clock tonight. Steve Foley Law pregame show starting at 7 here on WGR with Brian, with Paul Hamilton and Pat Malacaro along for the ride.
Yes, sir.
And
always a joy.
It is always a joy.
That's the bright spot in these in the
yes,
recent
that is
history.
The bright spot. It's those three.
The coverage.
The coverage that our guys give you between the three of them is always elite. There's never a bad conversation with Brian, though. I always have a great time talking with him, being able to pick his brain on a team that does not seem to like us very much.
No, and listen, I know it's very early in the season, but I mean, at
typically
this point,
at 12 to 15 games is when I'm going to properly react.
Yes.
But it's not good through the first chunk of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it. And we might have some of those frustrations coming right now as we get connected to our fans. It's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We go to Rich in Lakeview. Rich, good morning. Welcome to Sports Talk Saturday.
You know what? I'm glad that before I got on, Brian was maybe a little bit of voice of reason. I mean, I wouldn't want to disturb the Sabre players because right now, what's it, 20 to 12? So they're probably at a nice brunch right now, getting ready, perhaps, you know, celebrating sweetest day with somebody they found at 40 Thieves. Who knows? All right. But the fact of the matter is, even more galling than the 1-4 start, which I never could imagine, and don't call me again for a 10-pack because it's not going to happen, all right, Sabre sales, not your fault. But the most galling thing as someone who watched as an infant the very first Sabre game, 2-1 win over the Pittsburgh Penguins in 1970, to what I see now, the ebbs and flows and the absolute treacle that is the frozen treacle that is the Buffalo Sabres. The most galling thing is the fact that game after game, season after season, we had the captain, we weren't ready to play. We weren't motivated to play. They wanted it more than us. How could they want it more than us? I mean, what world, to take a quote from the Mighty Ducks, cake eaters, do they leave in that to go to a home game, guys? These are the guys who come and support you guys. You're talking $200 with parking, tickets, watered-down beer, terrible hot dogs with some name put on it. Look where those windmills used to be. That was blue-collar Buffalo, the people that you're playing for. And time again, you call the guy that is working a double shift, the mom that is hoping, the single mom, hoping to get their kids there, and yet they still support you. And time again, after these multi-million-dollar contracts, you weren't ready to play. You weren't motivated. Guys, you got to look in the mirror that it's a you problem. I mean, did a general manager assemble this, guys? Is the owner preoccupied with a team that actually plays for itself? But you bring in guys after guys, and if you can't honor the community that you play in, by listen, when Ted Nolan was here the first time, Those guys were terrible, but they were known as the hardest working team in hockey. To go out and look in the mirror and see a banner that says, welcome to the most apathetic team in hockey, is absolutely a slap in the face to the Western New York public. My father-in-law, 86 years old, came here from Italy, fell in love with the sport, a season ticket holder for 50 years, all right? And he still lives and dies with these guys. And you come out and admit you're not motivated enough to play? That galls me more than the O for forever power play. I mean, I remember it was like the slogan used to be a decade ago, one team, one goal. Guys, you weren't supposed to take that literally. You need more than one goal.
Rich,
you know,
that's a great one there.
I'm done with these guys.
Rich, hang on. I want you to hear this. I'm standing up quite literally.
He is in the air. Truthfully, couldn't have said
Rich, that is my full applause for that one. I love that call. I love the joke at the end, though, too, to tie it all in together.
He's 100% correct, though. Every time they lose, they wanted it more than us.
And that might be players speak, but at the same time, that's also words you probably shouldn't admit.
Enough is enough. People have heard it for so many years.
But also, it's something you probably shouldn't admit.
Yes. Like you're supposed to want it more than the other team.
Even if it's the truth,
yes.
Don't say it. That's something like, and that's why that quote from Darlene the other like last night, that was kind of like surprising. It was like, wait, it was the other night. But like what?
Hold on.
What do you mean?
What are you talking about?
And also, you're a captain. It's kind of your job to make sure that we're hungry. Starve them.
That's like Okposo last season. Yeah, we knew, going into the season, blah, blah, blah. Like, what do you mean going into the season you knew? What do you mean?
If they're hungrier, starve your team.
Yes.
Simple as that. Thank you, Rich. I appreciate that call. And you got your flowers there from me. I love every bit of that because, look, here's the thing. I want to talk about this team in a positive light. I've wanted to all the time. How many times do I bring in hockey on this show, even when we don't have to?
It was post-draft. It was like August.
Yes.
And like
I want to talk about them, and I want to be positive about them, and I want to love them, and I do love them.
It's like the little kid who keeps getting sent down to the principal's office. Like, all you can do is just pat him on the head, but like whatever you say to them is not going to get through until they actually start making a change for themselves.
It's just frustrating to root for a team and love a team, or love the idea of a team, I should say.
It is the idea of
a team. It's the idea of the Buffalo Sabres that is far more fun right now than the actual Buffalo Sabres.
Right, because you know when the Sabres are good.
And it's simple as this. Why won't you love me?
Pretty much, because you know when the Sabres are good, this city explodes into a hockey city that it truly is.
Yes.
And you haven't seen that.
Because hockey does have tendencies of blue collar to it.
Yes.
That like the modern day NFL does not. Like modern day hockey, there's still a bit of that. People fall in love with a big guy that can hit. People fall in love with a fourth line that can grit and grind.
Because
guys who aren't
getting
paid.
You
can relate to it a little bit.
Yes.
What you can't relate to is constantly losing.
No, that if you relate to that.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I apologize. I can't. I'm going to go. I'm trying to stay positive.
The weirdest thing is the general managers have changed. The coaches have changed. Even the owners have changed multiple times through this team.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, during this playoff drought, we've had one owner.
That's true.
And he has managed to more than double the amount of time that the Buffalo Sabres have not been in the playoffs in their entire franchise history.
See, this is the thing, though. We both said it. Lindy,
it is more of a statistical anomaly at this point where half the teams make it into the playoffs that you do not get to the playoffs. And even the times where you have been good on accident, you were 1 point short. Oh, and when they further expanded it, what did you do? You lost by 1 point to the Montreal Canadiens, who ended up with Carey Price and a bag of pixie dust showing up to the Stanley Cup Finals. Why do you hate us?
Yeah. And everyone, this was the problem with Lindy Ruff coming
allowed,
back.
Bulldog said it, and I mimic every bit of this. Why am I not allowed to swear on the radio when it comes to this team? There should literally be, in the FCC rules, an exception made, and it says, point A, only applicable
except for when talking about the Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah.
I should be allowed to frick, frack, and heckin' all over the place here, but I'm not allowed to, and it's not fair.
Yeah, this is the danger with Lindy Ruff coming back. All the excitement, everyone's like, oh, we're going back to the good old days. You got to watch yourself because this is
and
not the same team.
He doesn't deserve this.
He doesn't either.
I know I have to wrap it up.
He doesn't deserve it. You're absolutely right. It's just tough. It's a tough moment. It really is. They're sitting here with one win.
Bleep, bleep, the bleepity bleep, and the bleep, bleep, bleep,
and
bleep.
And we'll be right back.
And we'll be right back.
We got to move fast. Alex Brasky coming up with us next as we shift to a team that doesn't make me want to die slowly inside.
Mm-hmm.
Booty cheek of the week. You know what? I'm the booty cheek of the week.
Why?
Because I watched the stupid Buffalo Sabres not score power play goals. You and I have as many power play goals as the Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah, that's like that Aaron Rodgers stat you put me with. I have an Achilles injury, and in the beginning of the season, I had the same amount of touchdowns and passes thrown.
Yeah.
And passes completed, I should say.
The only difference is I haven't stepped on the ice since July.
Right. Yeah, since the power play, huh?
Yeah. And the booty cheek might also just be the Buffalo Sabres themselves right now, starting 1-4-1, getting everyone's hopes up after having themselves two really nice games at home. And then anytime they play away from KeyBank Center right now, they are just not doing things.
Okay. I've got one person, two words.
Okay.
Tyler Bass.
Ouch.
Sorry. I can't sugarcoat it anymore. Everyone's like, the one got blocked. It got blocked because he shanked it all the way to the left, and it went into someone's hand. It was a bad kick. It would have missed either way.
I mean, you could hook things, but it's the special teams unit as a whole, and I'm starting to wonder if Tyler
Bass... Sam Martin is the only bright spot. When you're not talking about a punter, that means he's doing a solid job.
Yes, but also...
He's too rattled.
I think also it has to do with coaching. Ever since Heath Farwell left...
Smiley?
Smiley has been here. Matthew Smiley has been here, and Tyler Bass has struggled.
Okay,
that
so...
That should not be a coincidence anymore, and I think more people need to start talking about it.
Do we translate the booty cheek, then, to a combination of the two until we really decide what's at the bottom of this, then?
It's actually the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah.
No, here's the true...
Mayo boy.
The true booty cheek of the week. Jerry Jones.
Oh, yeah. I don't have time right now for that, though. Unfortunately,
we
don't have time.
Annoyed
for that.
About it.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And a lot of Dallas media has been doing the right thing, including one that used to be here in Jonah Javad.
He had himself
a really nice clip about that, calling him out. So, I wish I had more time to poop on the legacy of Jerry Jones, but we don't have time for that right now.
Some legacy.
We have to get to Alex Brasky coming up at the start of the 12 o'clock hour here. And it's the Tennessee Titans that are true booty cheek of week. You're listening to WGR.